Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. As our regular listeners know, the first week of every month we talk to two committee chairs from the Institute for Supply Management. They are the committee chair for the Manufacturing Report on Business, which is Tim Fiore, and we just did that interview. And today we are talking to the committee chair for the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business, Anthony Nieves. And we will do a deep dive on his report. And if you'd like to get these reports, they are at instituteforsupplymanagement.org. Anthony, welcome again to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, we like having you on the show because your report is usually pretty good. And so I'm going to let you kind of go over the high spot numbers here, which are all very favorable in your report.
Okay, will do. And before we get into the report, we had the teleconference this morning about the release. And the main topic of conversation by the media was what's going on with the coronavirus and how is it affecting the non-manufacturing sector and the overall economy, and what do we foresee going forward. To kind of add to that, I would like to mention that ISM has put out a survey to respondents, particularly addressing the coronavirus. We have closed the survey as of today, and the results will be disseminated in the near future. A release date hasn't been determined yet. So that will deal directly with the impact of the virus and how it's affected businesses and supply routes and all that. But we definitely got into a very long dialogue this morning on the teleconference about it. The other thing we talked about was they were asking whether or not this report reflected the impact of the coronavirus, being that the timing of our survey respondents. And even though ISM does not divulge the actual open and close date of the survey, we do ask our respondents to go as late in the month as possible when answering the survey questions. And I would like to point out that I've been involved with the Report on Business over a decade, and that this report has reflected more comments on one topic than any other report that I've worked on. And so there were numerous comments surrounding the impact of the virus and how it would affect business. And it's more about uncertainty at this point. And each day things change and it's a moving target and it evolves. And I'm not trying to diminish the impact of the virus, but at this juncture, and I'll go through the numbers and we'll see how the report is really a good report this month. It bodes well for the non-manufacturing sector and the overall economy. The composite index came in at 57.3, up 1.8 percentage points from the prior month. So the four indexes that make up the composite, I'll go through those first. The business activity at 57.8, up 3.1%, actually down 3.1 percentage points. Keep in mind that was at 60.9 last month. Very strong index, very strong reading. So we're measuring that change month to month. So we still have a good movement here on the business activity index. New orders, which tells us what's in the pipeline, 63.1, up 6.9 percentage points. Unless something derails this sector and the economy in the upcoming days, weeks, or month, this bodes well for what we might see coming out in next month's numbers. Employment, even with labor resource constraint, still growing 2.5 percentage points, up to 55.6. And the last index that comprises that NMI, supplier deliveries, up slightly 0.7 percentage points to 52.4, which indicates that our deliveries, the respondents' deliveries, are slowing at a slightly faster rate.
So all very positive. Anthony, I'm just wondering if at this juncture you're prepared to make any comments about the coronavirus and its impact on the supply chain, or does that really need to wait until you get the survey results back in the next week or 10 days?
Yeah, I think it would be better served to wait. I will provide some commentary on that, is that most supply professionals in their businesses have contingency plans as it relates to continuity of supply. And yes, supply routes, the uncertainty of the impact on supply routes, specifically China. They've had production shut down, plants have shut down, but there has to be either alternate supply routes established or restricted services or cut back in services. It just depends. And it depends on the respective companies within the industries and that comprise this sector. Each has their own separate type of dealing with things when it comes to emergency preparedness and whatnot. I mean, I've been involved in multiple industries in my career, most notably accommodation and food services, and now healthcare and social assistance. And I can tell you that we look for continuity of supply, and to maintain that, you have to have contingency plans in place. I think the biggest thing is that where we are right now, domestic U.S., we're seeing not as much of an impact as what we've what's been exhibited in other countries. We know China for sure, Italy certainly. We've had more cases come out each day, but in the grand scheme of things, I think the two industries that we have to keep an eye on, because when it comes to industries that are part of public space and community interaction, most notably is the accommodation and food services, which finished very strong in the month of February. But we're also seeing that conferences are being canceled, and we don't know exactly if reservations have been cut back or not. And the other is the arts, entertainment, and recreation, which actually did not finish well for the month of February. And that one could be impacted again going forward due to people refraining from the discretionary spend in areas where public space and again, that interaction with groups of people. So we have to, I think, be prudent, precautionary, and just be sensible when it comes to what's going on. As I've mentioned on the teleconference this morning, in the grand scheme of things, and again, I'm not trying to diminish the severity or lessen the impact of what we are going through, or as the country is going through, is that cases of influenza that kill people in this country on an annual basis is far exceeds what we're seeing right now. So, again, it's just a perspective.
Sure. Anthony, after being involved in the supply chain for a decade involved with this report, and working with Tim Fiore, and you worked with Brad Holcomb before this, and you work closely with the ISM, which does all kinds of training for supply chain, in your experience, do most companies have an A supplier that they're buying from and a backup B supplier, so if there's a disruption, they can flip a switch and not actually take a production hit? Are they in a position to do that?
You know, it's a very open-ended situation, because there is so eclectic. There's so many different mm-hmm. types of companies. I can tell you from my own experience in various supply chains that I've dealt with that, yes, there's always a contingency plan. And as far as suppliers, I mean, there is definitely systems contracting and primary distribution programs and things of that nature. But there are always, and again, in manufacturing, I think it's a bit different than non-manufacturing. Even though non-manufacturing deals with materials, it's just not assembling components like you would see on a production line in manufacturing, even though the argument could be made if you look at what goes on in the kitchen with recipes, it's no different than a bill of materials and using product in one state and transforming it into another state, if you want to make that correlation. But there's always things that flexibility, if you have to change a menu, if you have to restrict your menu, if you have to cut back on services, as I mentioned earlier, things that companies will do as part of their contingency planning. If you look at a hotel, their emergency preparedness procedures, they have everything from water and first aid and backup generators and siloam sticks if power outages and things, you know, that they have to deal with. So again, it's more correlated to each company in these respective industries.
Thanks, Anthony. I'm just curious, in this report, as we look at business activity and new orders, which are the drivers in the report, what's driving the business activity and the new orders? Is there a particular sector that's doing very, very well, or kind of an undercurrent of, I know we were looking for kind of a recovery on the manufacturing side, but an undercurrent on the non-manufacturing side? What's the, because this is a significant boost going on here.
Well, when you look at the top five contributors to the composite index growth month to month, you know, the combination of food services, management of mining, finance and insurance, real estate rental and leasing. So those five industries are really driving what's going on in the non-manufacturing sector month over month. On the business activity side of that, doesn't change much either. You have, again, combination of food services, management of companies, support services, mining, real estate, rental and leasing's four, and then finance and insurance five. There's a strong correlation between the real estate and the finance part, so with banks and mortgages and everything else. So that's the driving industries. Be interesting to see what happens next month, how the accommodation and food services industry is impacted by what's going on with all this uncertainty. If you look at coming out of year end after the holiday season, not much of a wane from in the month of January. And then you look at February, we now have a nice bounce back of where new fiscal period. There's a buildup of inventories going on. We look at the inventories index has increased from a contraction, went up 7.4 percentage points. So that's replenishment in order to address the increased demand. And we look at other factors, consumer confidence, even prior to the coronavirus and even now last month and going into this month, consumer confidence was very high. So then you had investor confidence. Well, interesting enough, that was an issue last year when we had the inverted yield curve that we were dealing with. Now, with the Fed reacting to the uncertainty, as well as global markets and looking where interest rates are, having lowered, half a percentage point, basis point, that's big too. That'll help provide some stimulus and maybe stave off some of the fear and uncertainty surrounding the pandemic virus that we're having to deal with globally.
You know, all the times we've talked, Anthony, I don't recall asking you, and I may have, pardon me if I have, oil and gas. What industry sector is in manufacturing or non-manufacturing? And if it's in non-manufacturing, where is it accounted for?
Well, in non-manufacturing, like oil and gas, or I should say exploration, we see that in the mining industry.
Okay.
The mining industry is definitely affected by fuel prices and capital reinvestment and whatnot. So that's where it's captured, say, in this sector. Tim would be better suited to answer that on the manufacturing side.
Okay. I just didn't know if the extraction of oil and gas from the ground was bundled into mining on your report or if it shows up in Tim's report.
Yeah, that is a great question, but mining for sure in the non-manufacturing sector.
Okay. Well, good. I need to understand where that was. Anthony, in this report, and last month the report, again, was very positive. It rolled up to some very good numbers. Other than the coronavirus kind of unsettling everybody, largely because it's unknown, not necessarily because it's widespread, were there any other surprises in this report? Either positive or negative that you cast an eye on?
Well, I have to say I touched base on it already with the new orders index popping up 6.9 percentage points. And that bodes well for future activity with what's in the pipeline. Again, hopefully it's not derailed by any more spread of the coronavirus. I think that the way that we're situated in this sector and what respondents, even putting aside the impact of the virus, they're still optimistic. For the most part, the majority are optimistic about business conditions.
And I see that the new export orders popped up very favorably. That was down in both exports and imports in the manufacturing side. Not necessarily a surprise there, but it's very much up in your report.
And that all is contingent upon the lessening of the trade tensions and the lifting of tariffs and or not passing new tariffs. So that has really helped both indexes.
Well, that's certainly good news that that's beginning to, at least we think it's beginning to wane. I'm not sure all of the tariffs have gone away yet. Many of them are still in place. I don't know that we'll see anytime soon that they go away. You've got an area in this report, and I, again, encourage people listening to this show or visiting us at mfgtalkradio.com to really delve into this report, talking about commodities up in price, down in price, and short supply. I wonder if you would just share that with our listeners, kind of some of the things that are happening within that.
Well, when you look at what's up in price, we see beef products for the third month. Key thing here is that what's categorized as a commodity for the sector, we have construction contractors, construction labor related, and labor. Those are all part of that employment picture. And that's been a long time running with the construction arena, just having real difficulty getting the tradesmen and skilled laborers, even on the contractor side or subcontractor side. When we look at down in price, cheese, dairy, diesel fuel, and gasoline. That gasoline is what's driving the prices index as well, you know, the fuel part. We're seeing the prices index at 50.8. We've had little to no inflation and hardly any pricing pressure for months. And then when you look at the short supply, again, construction contractors, construction subcontractors, 26 straight months for construction subcontractors being in short supply. What's new in this now is we're seeing gowns, the surgical gowns, and we're seeing personal protective equipment. And this is all related to the virus and the driving of gloves and surgical masks, surgical packs. All that is affected by what's going on with this pandemic situation.
I know that your day job is within the healthcare industry. Are you seeing anything in there, Anthony, where demand is increasing? I know you like every other industry, struggle to find people, but has there been any spike in demand for people to help people in their homes?
Well, the demographics are such that we're seeing that it's been ongoing, especially in the California, Southern California, Los Angeles area. It's always difficult to find clinicians. And the clinicians would be nurses and therapists and people that take care of people in their homes or in the hospitals. It's all settings. It's very tough to really get the qualified people to meet the demand at times. Staffing levels are always a challenge. And I think that, you know, with unemployment rate where it is, I think the last time I checked, when I looked at the unemployment rate for healthcare professionals in the Southern California area, it was less than 1%. So that makes it very tough to backfill any open positions. As far as commodity-based, we're seeing, like, again, the protective equipment. It's available. It's just that not in the quantities. And even in the retail side of things, people are hoarding antimicrobial soaps, the antibacterial soaps, there, any of the hand sanitizers, surgical masks, the bathroom tissue, you know, stuff's getting cleaned off the shelves, so to speak.
Right. I see that Amazon.com just booted a bunch of people who were spiking prices on products like these. So clearly they're in short supply. In your comments that you receive, and you receive hundreds of them, you mentioned that the coronavirus is the largest sector or discussion point in those comments that you've ever experienced. I know Tim kind of has a sense of the percentage of his comments that are related to that. Any sense of your comments, what percentage were related to the virus?
You know, it's interesting. I addressed that on the teleconference this morning that, as I said earlier, that this is the most comments I've seen relative to one topic. And I didn't count them because it seemed like every other comment. And we have, you know, over 300 respondents, 350 respondents to this survey. So when you look at these comments, it was like every other comment or successive comments were all about it. So it was a very high percentage is what I can state. And looking at some of the commentary here, this came from construction. The coronavirus has increased lead times for the critical items. And here's another one this is from mining. It says the business outlook remains positive but foggy due to actual Chinese coronavirus outbreak. Mining industry is very well dependent on Chinese consumption. On the other side, it is being very difficult to make sourcing decisions since it's not clear how long China will need to resume to normal production capacity and if it's worth it to pay more from other countries. So, and this is all throughout the comments and throughout the report that we've seen the degree of which the supply chain is being impacted and more of it, as I said earlier, about the uncertainty of it.
Right. In the overall, Anthony, a very favorable report. Anything that you want to share with our listeners that they might not pick up unless they actually go in and if we encourage them to do and really read into this report?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that is maybe not easy for people that are viewing the report to see the interrelation, the correlation of some of these indexes. And we see that when backlog, which was contracting last month, is now showing that it's building up. And when you have backlog build up, delivery slowing, inventory building up, this is all good things, and it's all reactionary to what we're seeing as business levels and the new orders index at 63.1, also showing that what's down the road. So there's this buildup so that we don't have the capacity constraint going forward.
Okay. And your respondents are saying that inventories, for the most part, seem to be about right. So that's pointing to some very good inventory management. Again, if you could maybe just summarize the overall as we wrap up this segment, anything you can add to this? I know that our listeners are always anxious to hear any insights because you're the guy who manages this report and really knows it backwards and forwards.
Well, fortunately, there's a whole team of ISM folks that collectively work on this, and I get to I have the privilege to take the data and interpret the data for the readers and listeners. But there's a strong contingent of ISM staff that really works on this more so than even me. I'm more the delivery mechanism. I will say that this report is one of the most accurate, strongest reports of its nature out there. And that's due to the fact that constantly review how we take the data and its compilation. We look at our survey respondents and we measure small, medium, large companies and their contribution to GDP as well. And the data comes from supply management professionals that are integrated through their enterprise, and they're able to garner the necessary information across the enterprise because of how they cross different disciplines. And so when this information is and the data is collected, and then the ISM team formats it, and then I get it, and then we all go and proof through it, and it's one of the first early releases of information that comes out, the first and third business day of the month, as you highlighted earlier in the show. So putting that all in perspective, this is capturing data. We don't divulge the timeline, but we're capturing data as late in the month as possible. Technology allows us to do that. And then when we disseminate the information, it is out there with the most up-to-date. information available. And furthermore, we always go back and look at it historically, and this report tracks closer to GDP than any other report out there. So that's my plug for the ISM folks that work hard on this out of Tempe, Arizona. And to summarize this report, looking at it in totality, it's a very strong report. Unless it gets derailed next month, I foresee us continuing on this trend of continued growth in the non-manufacturing sector. All indications point that way, unless this pandemic virus gets more traction domestic U.S. and globally. I've always said in the past, the only thing that was going to slow down the economy in this sector would be something catastrophic or geopolitical. Well, we're facing a little bit of each right now, so hopefully we can get past this, you know, and continue on this good path. And right now, the way it's been growing incrementally, we have not had to worry about an overheating economy either. So it's just, I think things are far more better than they are negative at this juncture.
And you, by the way, mentioned that this report tracks very accurately with GDP. And your current report is showing GDP growing at 3%. Is that consistent if I combine it with the manufacturing report that we would be closer to 3, or would we still be in the 2s as far as you can forecast forward?
Yeah, I think it would be more in the 2s because of the non-manufacturing, the PMI coming in at 50.1, just above the growth baseline. So. And we've seen manufacturing, 2 months in a row having a good, nice rebound from that contraction period that they experienced most of last year. So in the overall sense, to answer your question, yeah, I think we'd be under the 3 for sure. And I think that, don't forget, we're looking at a one-month snapshot and then annualizing it. In all actuality, I think the overall economy will be, unless it's derailed again, I always put that caveat there, track toward that 3% going forward. If we can get past this, if we can get past this epidemic, I think we'll be in great shape. But, I don't have the crystal ball, and I just I'm trying to stay positive on the outlook and without being jaded by my own optimistic perspective. I just think that I like to really be pragmatic about things and stay the course, and let's see what happens.
Well, Anthony, we always appreciate the folks from ISM joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. And again, we'd like to thank you for giving us the detail behind this report, which is, again, at instituteforsupplymanagement.org. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
Thank you, and we will. And we have been speaking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business that is issued by the Institute for Supply Management. We have had a great, wonderful working relationship with the ISM. In fact, Brad Holcomb, who did the Manufacturing Report on Business, was the opener for our very first show. So we have enjoyed that relationship with ISM, and this is really valuable information for all of our listeners to dig into, and you can find that at mfgtalkradio.com along with over 400 other shows. And as always, we appreciate you listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.